At Soycle. I'm really excited to be part of this company. I'm really excited to be here talking to you every day. And I'm also excited about the person who just followed me on the Twitter. At Soycle.
Can you narrow it down?
It's a candidate. At Soycle. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Friday. It is finally here.
Yes.
And especially after yesterday, it feels like yesterday was a big news day. And so the weekend is welcome.
Absolutely.
How you doing, Jane?
I am fabulous. So glad it's Friday. And we have a really jam-packed show today.
Jam-packed, which makes my life easy because I can just let them do all the work as far as all the different guests that we have on the show today, including our first guest, none other than my dear friend and Capital Bureau Chief for the Cap Times, Jesse O'Poyan, back again. How are you doing, my friend?
I am exhausted. I'm not going to lie. It has been, we're like less than a month out from the election, and I just don't know what sleep is anymore.
Yeah, it's funny because just the realm of people that are my friends, acquaintances, people we get on the show, this is go time. And it is a month for all my people who are journalists and candidates and work in different PACs or organizations that is just like, what is sleep? We got 4 weeks. Let's go. And so I want to talk about two big things for the half hour that we have you here. So the first one, I think, is just going through the debate since that happened last night. Maybe some predictions for tonight's gubernatorial debate. But then also, you were one of, I think it was it Monday or Tuesday, that it was basically Ron Johnson Day in the media, because you wrote an article called The Political Paradox of Ron Johnson, which was excellent. The Journal Sentinel had an op-ed that where their editorial board said, we can't elect this guy. And even then also this week was James Witherspoon, who is a pretty notorious conservative publisher of Right Wisconsin. Is it Wisconsin Right or was it Right Wisconsin?
It was Right Wisconsin.
Thank you. And he's saying that not only is he not going to vote for Ron Johnson or Tim Michaels, that he's going to vote for Tony Evers and Mandela, which are two different things. So definitely want to get back to your article, but let's start with maybe some bigger takeaways from last night's debate, which was a little fiery.
It was fiery. I mean, I think it's interesting to see how much formatting can make a difference in how a debate goes. And also, I think the fact that they had two debates, so kind of one could be a little bit more standard, you know, recite the talking points, whatever. But I mean, last night was, they were taking shots at each other pretty much left and right.
Out of the gate, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was maybe 3 or 4 minutes late to turning it on because I Googled the link and then it took me to last week's debate and I got 5 minutes into that. I was like, nope, this is the wrong one. And so I was late. And it's almost as soon as I turned on last night's, they had already started. And I think immediately I heard, I forgot who said which one first, but I know Ron Johnson right out of the gate called Mandela Barnes an actor. And mm-hmm. that the false narrative just flows out of his mouth like butter. And then I think almost out of the gate was also when Mandela said that what was the actual quote? Do we have that quote, Jane?
It was about marrying into money.
Marrying into money.
It was the intent. Yeah.
And it certainly made for better entertainment. I will say, like, it was watching it and kind of every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, man, except I didn't say that. And like jaw dropped a little bit about how much of the back and forth happened. I don't know. I did like the format. I will say that I felt bad for Charles Shannon Sims and Charles Benson just continuing trying to quell the audience from. And I don't know. Do you think there should not be an audience?
This was definitely like one of the more disruptive audiences, I feel like I've seen. I don't know, you know, what the, if there's a, you know, a process by which they try to, you know, have it evenly, you know, divided between supporters, or if it was just kind of first come, first serve. But I mean, it was a pretty raucous crowd, and it seemed like it was a crowd that was more supportive of Mandela Barnes. So, if I were moderating that debate, I would have been extremely frustrated. I felt bad for them. I mean, they did a great job. Getting through it. But oh yeah, I mean, it's not fun when you've only got an hour. You've got so many questions to ask. You've got all these, you know, opportunities for them to rebut each other, and then you've got to take time to tell the audience to shut up.
And so, do you feel like there was a fun, like any? Do you feel like this, because of the format, because of the rhetoric, do you think this moved the needle more so than last week? And if so, for whom?
That's a good question. I just think there just aren't that many undecided voters at this point, right? I mean, the question is probably more where independent's going. But did it move the needle? I don't think we learned anything about either candidate that we, you know, haven't already heard or didn't already know. But I think it showed that it's still just it's going to be, you know, a down to the wire fight. You know, they're going to slug it out the whole way through. I don't know. I guess I just really don't know how much debates actually, you know, move the needle, as opposed to just maybe getting people a little bit more fired up about their candidate.
And that's an interesting thing, because I had made a video talking about when it was announced there was only going to be one debate between the governor candidates, which is tonight, and saying that it's a shame, because then what do we really have to go off of, which is ads largely. But so what do you feel like is, when it comes to the benefit of voters, what in an ideal world would this scenario be, so that we have more information about candidates besides just who's paying the most amount of money to get their messaging out in ads?
That's a good question. And that's a good point. You know, I will say also, like, we're people who pay attention to politics all year round. Yeah. There are people who haven't been paying attention this whole time. And so the debate can be helpful for that. I'm a really big fan of the town hall type of debate, where audience members, you know, get to ask their questions and, you know, you actually get to hear from voters about what they care about, as opposed to, you know, what we, the media think, you know, we should be asking them. But yeah, I mean, more access is always better. You know, more panel situations where journalists can ask questions, more, you know, kind of open season kind of, you know, press gaggles where journalists can ask stuff. But also, yeah, I really do like those town hall settings where you can actually, you know, figure out what's most important to voters. And, you know, those questions are often things that I think, you know, are asked differently and in a more personal way than, you know, a reporter would.
Well, and I also wonder if, because it's, you feel like you're answering the question to a potential voter. And there is something about that face-to-face of, I maybe give a more personal answer based on the person who's asking versus a more sterile journalist asking the question that is, you know, formulated similar to how we hear the polling questions. And for, like, scientific purposes, they're worded specifically to not to try to create bias, and yet they are sterile.
Yeah. I mean, I thought during the gubernatorial primary, there was a, you know, the town hall between the three candidates. And I thought that was one of the better things out of the whole cycle, where, like you said, yeah, it's you're answering to a potential voter, a specific person, not a hypothetical. That being said, I mean, I feel like I'm talking myself out of a job here, but I think there's value in the way that reporters can frame those questions too. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the voters. And I think it's important to have those opportunities.
So before we start, because I do want to get to your article, but were the polling numbers that came out this week surprising at all to you?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I thought it would be the governor's race, not so much. I think, you know, that one's going to be a point here and a point there the whole way through. I don't think we're gonna have any idea where that race is going. I figured that Ron Johnson would be up. I would have thought maybe like 2 to 3 points. So the 6-point lead was a little surprising. Obviously, you know, he's been on air and his allies have been on air attacking Mandela Barnes. It's been effective. It's driven up his negatives and his unfavorability rating. But you know, I also think, like, we all polls are a snapshot in time. We've seen other polls that show it to be closer. It's going to be a close race, no matter what.
Well, and what I thought was interesting, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around, is the difference between likely voters, registered voters. Because did I understand that correctly? So, like, of the people who are not likely voters, and the difference between the people who aren't sure if they're going to vote or not, that there was like a 20-point swing towards Evers and Barnes?
I didn't look as closely at the governor's ratings, but yeah, there was a much bigger swing for sure in the Senate race. It got a lot closer when you factored in kind of all voters or people who weren't, you know, entirely certain whether they were going to vote.
So it becomes, at least strategically, the effort of turnout versus changing minds at this point for the Mandela campaign.
For the Democrats, yeah.
Well, you have not spent as much time with Mandela, but you have spent some time with Ron Johnson, and you wrote an excellent article, and I think is exactly, this is the parts that I loved, and so bear with me as I read your own words back to you. So, his supporters value his candor, yet don't begrudge him for the decision to seek a third term after pledging his second would be his last. He holds a visceral disdain for Washington, but he's engaged in an all-out brawl to maintain his role representing Wisconsin in the nation's capital. He decries division, but runs headfirst into controversy, declaring that the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol wasn't an insurrection, advising people to gargle mouthwash to kill COVID-19, and suggesting funding for Social Security and Medicare should be up for renewal every year. And even as a two-term incumbent, he's running for Senate as a bit of an underdog. And the title of their article was The Political Paradox of Ron Johnson. And that it is. It's so much of it is antithetical. And I kept thinking that last night as he kept saying the Democrats are in charge. And it's like, but you've been there for two terms. You've been there for 12 years. And where does that leave us as far as what your record is? And so I want to come back, once we come back from the break, to talk more about your impression, kind of what you gathered in order to write this article, and just demystify the man, the myth, the legend of Senator Ron Johnson. Our guest is Jessie Opoyan, who's the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Cap Times, and she will still be here when we come back from commercial. This is As Goes Wisconsin. To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Jessie Opoyan, who is the Capitol Bureau Chief at the Cap Times. So you spent some time with Ron Johnson, and, you know, do you think the FBI set him up?
You know, we did not talk about that. I will say.
Did that surprise you when he said that?
Yes, it did. he's definitely indicated, you know, the January 6th committee, you know, was out to smear him, but the FBI edition was, there were a couple unexpected moments last night from both candidates, I'll say.
They were both a little riled up, which is why it didn't really surprise me when Ron Johnson couldn't actually finish and say a full answer of just what he admired about Mandela Barnes. He had to still get that little, which is why I'm surprised he turned his back on the country. It's like, oh gosh, okay.
That reminded me though, in 2016, when he was running against Russ Feingold, he was in a meeting with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board, and they were, you know, asking him questions about, you know, his opponent. And at one point, I don't know who asked it, but one of the people in the meeting was like, well, do you respect Russ Feingold? And Johnson was like, no, I don't. And I was like, last night I was like, it's 2016 all over again.
Well, and to be fair, I'm not sure. He has never said this to me, but it would be hard for me to imagine that Mandela Barnes respects Ron Johnson either. But he did at least answer the question and say what he admired about him. So I guess from the time you have gotten to spend with a senior senator. What is he like?
It's what you see is what you get, you know. Yeah. You know, he's the same in person. He's the same one-on-one. He's very, I mean, when we sat down for an interview, I think the first 5, you know, minutes were kind of him rattling off numbers, talking about the deficit, talking about the debt. Like, that is still the thing that he kind of goes to, that he's always been going to, you know, since he ran first in 2010. You know, we were kind of laughing though. Like, he, you know, he, there's all these photos of him looking, you know, very grumpy, right? And he's like, I do smile, you know. And at the fair, you know, we were in an environment, you know, where he's shaking hands and meeting supporters and, you know, having a good time, but, you know, also still talking about, you know, the way that he feels that he is mistreated by the media, the way that he feels, you know, that the media and kind of the left are one entity, that he's fighting against lies, that he's fighting against, you know, smear campaigns and distortion. That's that, you know, all of the things that you hear him say, in a debate or, you know, in a public forum are the same thing that he's saying when he's talking to voters. And voters are asking him about that. I mean, those are the things that his supporters at least are concerned about.
And as someone who is in the media and who is a reporter, you are not you were at one point the opinion editor, but you were back to being a reporter. I am squarely an editorial opinion person who tries to be fair, but I know that I have my biases. When it comes to the Wisconsin news landscape, do you feel like he is attacked, and do you feel like it is unfair, or do you think it's reflective of his record?
I mean, the phrase that I use and have used before is lightning rod. You know, I think he has a tendency to say things that shock people, or that, yeah, you know, that cause us to ask questions, you know, that cause us to dig into, you know, what he's getting at. So, you know, he naturally draws a lot of attention. He says things that are controversial, and, you know, that's naturally, I think, going to result in, coverage that, you know, he feels is negative toward him.
Yeah, because we said, maybe this was Wednesday, I think it was when Greg was here, of the, and I think your article captured this, is the mentality of me against the world, and that he actually does believe that. And I think when you're that unpopular and there's so many numbers that you're the least, you know, next to Mitch McConnell, you're the least favorable senator in the country. And every time a Marquette poll comes out, his unfavorability numbers. But to keep going in the face of, when you hear that, either you have really thick skin or you have to start doing the mental gymnastics of, they don't understand, they're attacking me. And is that kind of the vibe you get from him, is that he has to double down and believe in this? Otherwise, how do you keep going?
Yeah. I mean, everyone that I talked to who knows him, I talked to his brother, you know, just said, this is who he is. You know, he wouldn't say these things if he didn't believe them. He wouldn't be asking these questions if he didn't believe that they were important questions. And, you know, something that a couple of the Republican strategists that I talked to for the story said, or, you know, kind of, implied, was, it stuck with me, is you don't have to love your senator to vote for them. You don't have to be, you know, 100% in love with this person. You don't even have to like them. You just have to like enough about them, and you have to like the way that they approach the job. And, you know, in some ways, you know, maybe it's a thought of, this is, I think, upsetting the apple cart, you know, was a phrase that one of the strategists I talked to, you know, used. And I think there's a thought of, you know, that natural anti-establishment feeling that I think is kind of permeating the electorate, does really vibe.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming from.
All right. Well, as we head into this evening, another primetime debate on a Friday night, that who's going to be home to watch, but I don't know. Any predictions for how tonight's going to go?
I don't think it's going to be quite as fiery as last night. Okay. I think it's too bad that we only get one gubernatorial debate. I think, you know, another one would allow them to be a little bit more candid and, you know, let us see them a little bit more. But I mean, we've seen Tony Evers debate before. We know what he's like. I guess we've seen Tim Michaels in the, you know, primary debate stages, but, you know, I'm looking for specifics. That's, you know, what I want. You know, Tony Evers has the record that he has. We know what he's done. We know what he's proposing. I want to hear more of that from Tim Michaels.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely... I won't be home tonight. I will watch it tomorrow. And so we will, I'm sure I will shoot you a text and be like, what'd you think? And get your insight on it. But can't wait to eventually have you maybe in person. But Jesse O'Poyen, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Get some sleep. Plan a vacation
I'm getting my COVID booster today. It's going to force me to lay low this weekend.
There you go.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely. All right. Jesse O'Poyen, thank you so much for spending time with us. She is the Capital Bureau Chief for the Cap Times. Follow her on Twitter. Follow Cap Times. Be a member. Support local media. And that's it for now. All right. We're going to take a break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.